February 7th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will come from the book of Exodus, chapter 26, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 27, verse 21. 10 curtains, 50 loops, 50 clasps, 40 sockets, 20 boards, 2 veils, yet it was one sanctuary. That it may be one tabernacle, it says here in verse 6. That it may be one in verse 11. Diversity, yes, but unity in diversity. There was only one plan for the tabernacle, and it came from God. Man's cleverness and wisdom may bring success in the things of the world, but they will destroy the work of the Lord. Be sure you get your plans from heaven and not from the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read about building with the proper materials that will endure. The sanctuary was indwelt by one glory, the glory of God. When man brings in his glory, oh, there is division. Jesus prayed that his people might be one. Are you helping to answer that prayer? As we move into chapter 27 of the book of Exodus, we'll see the tabernacle was not a gathering place for worship, but a place for sacrifice and holy service. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. February 7th. Exodus chapter 26, verse 1 through chapter 27, verse 21. Make the tabernacle from 10 sheets of fine linen. These sheets are to be decorated with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with figures of cherubim skillfully embroidered into them. Each sheet must be 42 feet long and 6 feet wide. All 10 sheets must be exactly the same size. Join 5 of these sheets together into one set. Then join the other 5 sheets into a second set. Put loops of blue yarn along the edge of the last sheet in each set. The 50 loops along the edge of one set are to match the 50 loops along the edge of the other. Then make 50 gold clasps to fasten the loops of the 2 sets of sheets together, making the tabernacle a single unit. Make heavy sheets of cloth from goat hair to cover the tabernacle. There must be 11 of these sheets, each 45 feet long and 6 feet wide. All 11 of these sheets must be exactly the same size. Join 5 of these together into one set, and join the other 6 into a second set. The 6th sheet of the second set is to be doubled over at the entrance of the sacred tent. Put 50 loops along the edge of the last sheet in each set, and fasten them together with 50 bronze clasps. In this way, the 2 sets will become a single unit. An extra half sheet of this roof covering will be left to hang over the back of the tabernacle, and the covering will hang down an extra 18 inches on each side. On top of these coverings, place a layer of tanned ram skins, and over them put a layer of fine goatskin leather. This will complete the roof covering. The framework of the tabernacle will consist of frames made of acacia wood. Each frame must be 15 feet high and 2.25 feet wide. There will be 2 pegs on each frame, so they can be joined to the next frame. All the frames must be made this way. 20 of these frames will support the south side of the tabernacle. They will fit into 40 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame. On the north side, there will also be 20 of these frames with their 40 silver bases, 2 bases for each frame. On the west side, there will be 6 frames, along with an extra frame at each corner. These corner frames will be connected at the bottom and firmly attached at the top with a single ring, forming a single unit. Both of these corner frames will be made the same way. So there will be 8 frames on that end of the tabernacle, supported by 16 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame. Make crossbars of acacia wood to run across the frames, 5 crossbars for the north side of the tabernacle, and 5 for the south side. Also make 5 crossbars for the rear of the tabernacle, which will face westward. The middle crossbar, halfway up the frames, will run all the way from one end of the tabernacle to the other. Overlay the frames with gold and make gold rings to support the crossbars. Overlay the crossbars with gold as well. Set up this tabernacle according to the design you were shown on the mountain. Across the inside of the tabernacle hang a special curtain made of fine linen, with cherubim skillfully embroidered into the cloth using blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Hang this curtain on gold hooks set into 4 posts made from acacia wood and overlaid with gold. The posts will fit into silver bases. When the inner curtain is in place, put the Ark of the Covenant behind it. This curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Then put the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, on top of the Ark of the Covenant inside the most holy place. Place the table and lampstand across the room from each other outside the inner curtain. The lampstand must be placed on the south side, and the table must be set toward the north. Make another curtain from fine linen for the entrance of the sacred tent, and embroider exquisite designs into it, using blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Hang this curtain on gold hooks, set into 5 posts made from acacia wood and overlaid with gold. The posts will fit into 5 bronze bases. Using acacia wood, make a square altar, 7.5 feet wide, 7.5 feet long, and 4.5 feet high. Make a horn at each of the 4 corners of the altar, so the horns and altar are all one piece. Overlay the altar and its horns with bronze. The ash buckets, shovels, basins, meat hooks, and fire pans will all be made of bronze. Make a bronze grating with a metal ring at each corner. Fit the grating halfway down into the firebox, resting it on the ledge built there. Removing the altar, make poles from acacia wood and overlay them with bronze. To carry it, put the poles into the rings at 2 sides of the altar. The altar must be hollow, made from planks. Be careful to build it just as you were shown on the mountain. Then make a courtyard for the tabernacle, enclosed with curtains made from fine linen. On the south side, the curtains will stretch for 150 feet. They will be held up by 20 bronze posts that fit into 20 bronze bases. The curtains will be held up with silver hooks attached to the silver rods that are attached to the posts. It will be the same on the north side of the courtyard, 150 feet of curtains held up by 20 posts fitted into bronze bases, with silver hooks and rods. The curtains on the west end of the courtyard will be 75 feet long, supported by 10 posts set into 10 bases. The east end will also be 75 feet long. The courtyard entrance will be on the east end, flanked by 2 curtains. The curtain on the right side will be 22.5 feet long, supported by 3 posts set into 3 bases. The curtain on the left side will also be 22.5 feet long, supported by 3 posts set into 3 bases. For the entrance to the courtyard, make a curtain that is 30 feet long. Fashion it from fine linen and decorate it with beautiful embroidery in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. It will be attached to 4 posts that fit into 4 bases. All the posts around the courtyard must be connected by silver rods using silver hooks. The posts are to be set in solid bronze bases. So the entire courtyard will be 150 feet long and 75 feet wide, with curtain walls 7.5 feet high, made from fine linen. The bases supporting its walls will be made of bronze. All the articles used in the work of the tabernacle, including all the tent pegs used to support the tabernacle and the courtyard curtains, must be made of bronze. Tell the people of Israel to bring you pure olive oil for the lampstand, so it can be kept burning continually. The lampstand will be placed outside the inner curtain of the most holy place in the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons will keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence day and night. This is a permanent law for the people of Israel, and it must be kept by all future generations. February 7th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 30. Here's what we'll find there. When Jesus Christ returns, it will be a time of separation. The wise will be separated from the foolish, the faithful servants from the unfaithful, the blessed sheep from the cursed goats. The wise virgins had oil and were prepared to meet the bridegroom. Many people profess to be Christians, but do not have the Holy Spirit and are not born again. They may mingle with the saved, but they're not really one of them, and they will not enter into the marriage feast. His coming also means evaluation. As we wait for the Lord to return, we must invest our lives and earn dividends for His glory. Christ gives us opportunities that match our abilities, and the one-talent servant is just as important as the five-talent servant. The key is faithfulness. For God measures us against ourselves and not against the other servants. Are you afraid to step out by faith and take some risks for God? When Christ returns, it will be a time of commendation. We will be surprised to learn about ministries we performed that we thought were insignificant, but that He will reward. This parable is not teaching salvation by good works. Christ's sheep know that they are sheep, but they do not always realize what their service means to Christ. We will experience some surprises in that day. And now, let's begin our reading of the Bible here in the New Testament. February 7th, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 30. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish took no oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all lay down and slept. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Sir, open the door for us." But he called back, "I don't know you. So stay awake and be prepared, because you do not know the day or hour of my return." Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. The servant with 2 bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received the 1 bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, "Sir, you gave me 5 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Next came the servant, who had received the 2 bags of gold, with the report, "Sir, you gave me 2 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. You think I'm a hard man, do you, harvesting crops I didn't plant and gathering crops I didn't cultivate? Well, you should at least have put my money into the bank so I could have some interest. Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of gold. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Psalm 31, verses 1 through 8. We'll read here about foes. David's enemies persecuted him, lied about him, and spread a net to catch him. Where could he turn to for help? Only to the Lord. If the hand of the enemy is against you, find safety in the hand of the Lord. We'll read about feelings. David was ill, possibly as a result of his own disobedience. God can use enemies and sickness to chasten us and bring us to a place of submission. David's enemies laughed at him and his friends ignored him. All David could do was turn to the Lord for help, and the Lord did not fail him. And we'll read about faith. The emphasis is on David's faith in the Lord. Because of his faith, David was not ashamed, but rejoiced in God, and enjoyed the smile of God upon his life. He knew that God's goodness would carry him through. Do you know that? Are you aware? Are you confident that God's goodness and faithfulness will carry you through? You know, true faith is never alone, for it leads to love and hope, which give you the courage that you need to win the battle, whether the foe is within or without. Psalm 31, verses 1 through 8, for the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be put to shame. Rescue me, for you always do what is right. Bend down and listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be for me a great rock of safety, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this peril. Pull me from the trap my enemies set for me, for I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. I hate those who worship worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I am overcome with joy because of your unfailing love. For you have seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to my enemy, but have set me in a safe place. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. She stands on the hilltop and at the crossroads. At the entrance to the city, at the city gates, she cries aloud. I call to you, to all of you. I am raising my voice to all people. How naive you are. let me give you common sense. Oh, foolish ones, let me give you understanding. Listen to me, for I have excellent things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and hate every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome and good. There is nothing crooked or twisted in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those who want to learn. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge over pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can be compared with it.